Hey there, and welcome back to The Real Stakes, the podcast where we dive into Iowa's agricultural industry and its effects on our communities and our environment. I'm your host, Emma Turvek. The focus for today's episode is a bit different than those previous. We'll be looking at some of the communities that serve, in many ways, as the backbone of Iowa's ag industry, meatpacking workers. In recent months, it's been difficult to ignore the prevalence of news articles involving one scandal or another relating to meatpacking plants and the effects of COVID-19. Today, I'll be talking with a member of the Iowa House of Representatives from Waterloo, Iowa, Timmy Brown Powers. Timmy has worked as a vital part of her community's healthcare system as a nurse for 31 years. She began using her skills of advocating for her patients on a larger scale 8 years ago when she first ran for the Iowa House, and is now an advocate for 30,000 members of her community while continuing to work in healthcare. One of the biggest ways Timmy has continually advocated for the health and safety of her community is in relation to the Tyson Meatpacking Plant located in Waterloo, where over 1,000 employees have been infected with COVID-19, and at least 5 of those employees have lost their lives to the virus. Representative Brown Powers has an important perspective on the story of the Waterloo Tyson plant post-COVID-19, and I believe it's an important story to tell. So Timmy, let's get into that. Can you start by telling me a bit about the way COVID-19 has affected your area and meatpacking plants specifically, since there's a Tyson plant located in the Waterloo area, correct?
That is correct. So when you say that you get more involved in your community, when COVID hit, it was really a time where I felt like it was my responsibility as a local leader to step up to do all that I can for my community. So during that time, I was actually working in the Fury Clinic or COVID clinic at Mercy One. We had canceled all my outpatient folks in MedFit program, and I was home from the legislature. And so instead of going on unemployment, which would have been an option for me, they said, well, you could work in the COVID clinic. And I said, well, sign me up. So I really was able to keep a really good eye on what was happening in our community. And in the end of March and 1st of April, we started to see this incline happening in our community. And then as I really paid attention to it, we were seeing a lot of people coming through from our Tyson's meatpacking plant. I reached out to Representative Ross Smith at that time. He and I are very good friends, and we kind of share Waterloo. And he, too, was hearing some things from constituents about some concerns at the meatpacking plant. And I said, well, we are seeing just a real high volume. So early on, he and I reached out to the governor's office, and our liaison person for the governor's office is Logan Shine. And so we were sending him and calling Logan saying, hey, can you talk to the governor? We need to talk about what's happening at Tyson. And at that same time, Roz reached out to the pork producers and said, hey, we are seeing a real incline of cases at Tyson. We have concerned employees out there. What are you guys' thoughts? And so our whole goal initially, the first part of the month, was to just try to slow the line down. However, leadership didn't feel like that was a problem. And Tyson didn't want to slow down the line either. And so as I watched our community get very sick, I became just increasingly concerned and frustrated. So that's when Roz and I actually filed an Iowa OSHA complaint. We filed that Iowa OSHA complaint and got all of our legislative partners here in the Cedar Valley to sign on with us, and we sent that in. Now, during that entire time, we also continued to have conversations with the governor's office and actually with Iowa OSHA, Rod Larson, you know, saying, hey, we're concerned. Right about 3 days after we filed our Iowa OSHA plant, the plant closed down for that interim period. And I would love to say that that was because of Roz and I, but I really don't think it was. I think it was because they probably ran out of staff at the plant. I think they had so many sick people that they didn't have a choice. And so then the plant was shut down. It was cleaned. There were some things changed and added to the plant, which we were happy to have. During this time, Roz and I were talking to the HR department at Tyson's, you know, just kind of sharing our concerns and kind of our expectations. And, you know, just the safety of the employees, our constituents, our neighbors, you know, was the biggest concern. So when they opened up, they had given us a list of things that they had done. And, you know, I was glad to hear that they had made those changes. About 2 days after that, we also received a letter back from Iowa OSHA that stated that they found no problems within the plant. Now, I've worked for the hospital for 31 years, and so I've been through surveys and investigations, I understand the process. You know, when the state or anybody's coming in to inspect us, I understand the process. And so, though you might have a fabulous program, during those inspections, investigations, they will always find something for you to improve upon. And so when they told me nothing was wrong, I was just really, again, a bit frustrated. I reached out to Iowa OSHA, and he assured me that he had been out there the day that they opened, and there was nothing wrong. Well, the day they opened, Emma, was also no one was working. So the day they opened was like an open house at school, right? It was come in, people could come, employees could come with bring their families, and they could see the new things that they had set up to protect employees. So it was kind of an open house time. So everything was clean, no lines were moving, you know. So I suppose that's a great time to go do an inspection. But the other concern is that they never even talked to any employees, because we know through the Iowa Labor Commission that many, many employees across Iowa filed complaints, and several of those out of the Waterloo Tyson. So a CASPA is filing a complaint to the regional director, which is down in Kansas, that the Iowa OSHA did not conduct a thorough investigation, and I wanted them to look into it.
After Timmy's efforts to get OSHA to intervene on behalf of workers' health and safety resulted in an uncharacteristically clean report, she decided to file a CASPA.
And so I filed the CASPA. Again, my legislative partners in the Cedar Valley all signed on with me. And about 48 hours after filing that, I got a call from Bethany with the Tyson HR department. And she said, well, you know, we wanted to reach out to see if you and the other legislators wanted a tour. And we had heard that you filed a CASPA. So the frustrating part there was that I filed a CASPA, and instead of the regional director investigating it, they reached out to Tyson and said, you've got legislators in your district concerned. You better do something and show them what you're doing. So that was frustrating. The whole point of the CASPA and the Iowa OSHA wasn't for me to get a tour. It was for employees to be protected. And the CASPA was for the region to make sure that Iowa OSHA was doing their part and doing their job thoroughly, and they're not. And they still aren't. So that never got rectified. And but we did the tour, and I took all the legislative folks in my district with us, and we did a tour. And yes, they have made some good improvements. Have they slowed the line down? No. Is it perfect? No. Have they increased some safety measures? Yes. Is it transparent? Probably not. When I left feeling better, but not great, because I can tell you they're still not 6 feet apart. There is a piece of plexiglass between each worker in most cases, but in some cases there's two employees within that little space, because I think the line moves so fast and they don't move quick enough. So they put two in there, which kind of defeats the whole purpose of being on the other side of plexiglass or 6 feet apart. And so I still think there's things to do. The bottom line, that none of this would have had to happen had we just thought about the employee first instead of the money first. And my whole concern was making sure that employees were safe, their families were safe, and the community was safe. And it wasn't. None of those things were true.
Timmy's efforts to use her position as a local leader to ensure the health and safety of her community were not welcomed with open arms. And although some basic measures were being taken, many things stayed essentially the same, including the speed at which employees were required to work to process the animals on the line and produce as much as possible to maintain a certain level of profit. Next, I spoke with Timmy about what an ideal situation might have been if the plant's main concern was the health and safety of their employees and their families.
Well, what we should have done right off the bat was Iowa should have been on our game much better for all Iowans at the very beginning of this. But we had poor communication from the top down, from federal top down. And so we just weren't equipped with the information that we needed. And then we should have in all industrial, you know, because John Deere and there's other big companies that took great measure to make sure their employees were safe, but the lines kept moving. Tyson should have done that. And they didn't. They were more concerned about the bottom line, and they weren't concerned about their employees and didn't take COVID serious. And I think that's too bad, because across Iowa, we can see where Iowans have not taken this serious. And now look at where we're at now. The other thing is, one of the simple things that Tyson could have done is slow the line down. If you could have slowed the line down, you could have pulled every other person out of that line, and you would have protected your folks. And if you would have taken it seriously, you would have taken some of those precautions in the locker rooms and the break rooms and those things early on. And they didn't. No PPE, you know. It wasn't until the week that they were getting ready to close down that they had passed out bandanas for PPE purposes, which, you know, that's not going to really work that great. So those things is what they should have done, or we could have done, that we didn't. Now, the things that they have changed, they require surgical masks, PPE on all their staff, which is great. They require eye protection or goggles for all their staff, which is great. They limit the locker rooms now. They have a monitor in the locker rooms to make sure that only so many people are in there at any given time. They have monitors in the hallways to make sure that people are moving on opposite sides of the hallway and keeping 6 feet distance. They removed every other chair and put plexiglass up in the break room. They put plexiglass on the line and for all the employees. All the employees coming in get they get a whole body scan, a thermal scan. If they have any symptoms, they can go right there to the bus and they can get tested if need be, or any medical condition that they, you know, they can get kind of looked at, which is good. Many of them carpool, so they're giving these carpool packs. So the person that who's the driver can clean their sanitize their car. So they came up and are doing some good things. They have more hand washing stations throughout the plant. Now, if we could have done that at the beginning, we wouldn't have had to go through what we went through. Families wouldn't have lost loved ones. But you know, I think that in many cases, you know, it just wasn't taken seriously, and the bottom line was more important than an employee. And I'm always frustrated when a profit is more important than the employee, because you wouldn't have any profit if you didn't have that employee.
So those are, you know, in hindsight, and I'm sure that they think that too, because they
got kind of a tarnished name. And so now they're, you know, one of the things that they want to do is get more involved in the community, and they want to be more transparent. And you know, I want them to be, because let's be honest, they employ a lot of people, and they give to the community, and they're a valued part of the whole process in Iowa. And they feed us. But you have to make sure that you have the employees safe, healthy employees, so that you can do all of that. And, you know, I hope that in the future, this changes how meatpacking plants across the nation treat their employees. They didn't have a great reputation before, so of treating their employees well. And this really highlighted them. And so I hope that this kind of changes their outlook and how they treat people.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. So some of those safety measures and precautions that you were talking about, is that just unique to the Tyson plant in Waterloo, or is that sort of across Tyson plants more broadly?
I think that's more broadly now. I think we've taken that really seriously. So I think all meatpacking plants across the nation have really picked up and done those. And I, you know, those should be permanent things. You know, I hope that when we get a vaccine, they don't tear that stuff down. And, you know, I hope people keep their due diligence and keep it safe for employees.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, what do you think are the best action steps that will help reduce the risk of COVID-19 for meatpacking employees?
The safety. So I think a couple of things. From a legislature, I think it's my responsibility to stay in contact with the leadership out there to make sure that they are doing well, and asking them if they need anything from me, and keeping in contact with the employees out there, making sure that, you know they can reach out to me if they feel like things are not being taken care of. So I think that's on me and all legislators. I think it's our job to make sure that, you know, that the managers of meatpacking plants have our contact information, and we have their contact information, and we stay in contact. Because one of the things they said is that we want to be transparent. We want to hear from you. And if you hear anything in the community, please reach out to us. So I think that to build that partnership is important. From their standpoint, I think that, and on all of Iowa, actually, Emma, wear the mask, wear, you know, keep the 6 feet distance, wash their hands, you know, keep up all the measures that they put into place, keep those going, and don't slack on those, and just keep encouraging those. You know, the other thing I said, there's 47 languages spoken out there. So there is and was a huge gap, just because people didn't understand. So one of the things too that they did do is they've used a lot of pictures, and that has seemed to help as well. You know, some of those things I think are helpful too. One of the things that we talked to them about, because the meatpacking plant in, I think it's Clear Lake, or is it Clear Lake, I believe, they're doing a partnership with one of that local hospitals. So they're going to have an on-site, like, urgent care at the plant. And I love that idea. And so one of the things that I want to work on, and I've talked to our CEO, and I want to talk to the Tyson again about really connecting those folks together so that maybe they can do something similar to that here. Because I think that would be a fantastic service for those employees. Because some of our immigrants don't understand the medical process and preventative care. And if we can have that right there for them, to help make sure they stay healthy and answer any questions that come up, I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Those are all really great ideas, I think, for sure. So you said earlier that you're working on a documentary. Do you want to talk more about that?
So ProPublica is doing a documentary on meatpacking plants across Iowa. And they interviewed some of the families who lost family members. They've have interviewed community folks, community businesses, myself and Ross Smith, and then not just here, because we had other meatpacking plants across Iowa that had problems, and so they've been in Iowa back and forth. One is from New York and the other writer is from California, and they met in Iowa and they've kind of traveled around, but they are coming back next week to actually get some footage and to talk to folks again. But, you know, just to really highlight what these families went through, what these communities went through when COVID hit and we were so unprepared. And they're going to highlight how the meatpacking plants were more concerned about the bottom dollar than their employees at that point. I hope that, that has changed and I hope that in the future, meatpacking plants don't keep that reputation. I hope that they, really value their employees and have learned through this process that they won't get the bottom line unless they have great, happy employees. But so that's going to be kind of exciting to see how that comes out. And I'm kind of excited to read, you know, because I think they were able to talk to many different groups and ethnic groups and across Iowa. So I'm curious to read how that's going. I'm also working with the labor, coalition here in Iowa. They asked me to join their group after we had filed the Iowa OSHA and the CASPA complaint. And they actually have compiled all the Iowa OSHA complaints across Iowa from the employees and then our complaint and my CASPA complaint. And they are filing, in fact, last Friday, they did a press release. They filed a huge CASPA complaint to the regional director about the Iowa OSHA, and because Iowa OSHA needs to be A, funded, staffed, and then should not be politically based. It should be based for employees to go out and actually do good evaluations, investigations, and take care of Iowa workers.
Yeah, that documentary sounds really, really interesting. I'll definitely have to check that out eventually. All right. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about already that you were hoping to mention?
I don't think so. I think I gave you the whole story, Emma.
All right. Yeah, thank you. I really, really appreciate you just taking the time to chat for a bit.
Yeah, thank you and good luck.
Yes, thank you. After I recorded this interview with Timmy, a news story broke that reported that the managers of the Tyson plant in Waterloo had been making bets on the number of employees who would end up contracting COVID-19. This complete lack of empathy, compassion, and integrity on the part of Waterloo Tyson management is consistent with Timmy's story of her struggle with Iowa OSHA and the management at the Waterloo plant. And although the plant was taking important steps, like providing testing for employees and increasing some safety measures, there was a deficit in the areas of transparency and, obviously, managerial empathy for employees, their families, and the community. Unfortunately, this story is not unique. Meatpacking plants around Iowa have echoed similar narratives in the past few months, And in the next episode, I'll be talking with an expert on Iowa meatpacking and professor at the University of Iowa, Dr. Christy Naben-Warren. It's going to be a good one, so stick around. As always, thanks for listening and learning with me. I'll see you in the next episode.